Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Kathy Lipp decided to be close to her children. She's a parent that they can lean on and confide in through this transition that we've all experienced and seen to the adulthood years. She's written a book called 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. She's the author of six other books offering parental advice. And Kathy, we're glad you're on LifeQuest today.
Thanks for having me, Dwight. I appreciate it.
And one of the questions I always like to ask authors is, what prompted you to write this book at this time?
Well, we're part of a blended family.
Okay.
So we have both, you know, his and mine. And mm-hmm. So I felt like, at first, it was the toughest thing I've ever done in my life is to blend a family.
Yeah.
But I was so excited because after a few years, we kind of were gelling as a family. And, you know, God was really showing up in abundance. And I felt like mom of the year. And that was about the time when things started to get really tough between me and my oldest, who's a son.
Okay.
And so I needed to find new ways to connect with him in a deeper, more intimate level. And so I figured if I was going through this, other parents were as well. So that's why I started to really journal the steps that I was taking in order to connect with my son and pull out the other things that were working for us as step-parents, parents of teens, all those difficult situations.
And in fact, there are such a variety of combinations, aren't there, today?
There really are. You know, in the book, we talk about these aspects of parenting that we call special blessings, you know, blessings to grow you in your faith in God. And so we talk about, you know, parenting teens, being part of a blended family, a single family, and, you know, just day-to-day life with trying to deal with one personalities or maybe, you know, a bunch of kids with all sorts of different personalities, and how do you parent them? So lots of different aspects to this parenting game.
Kathy, a long time ago when my first child was born, I went through that, was excited, filled out the baby book very carefully. It's thick, and everybody else's, all the other kids, is very thin. And I figured out the parenting thing, except my second, third, and fourth kids all were different.
It's so true. And you think, once you've got it nailed down, you think that should work for everybody. But yeah, and I think every parent has gone through that. My first was, he was this very amiable baby, you know, mm-hmm. all he wanted to do was cuddle and snuggle.
Yes.
And my second child turned me upside down on my head. She has a very driving personality, and that made itself evident from about day two. So everything that worked with my son, I had to chuck out and redefine the whole parenting thing with my daughter, and each of us as parents has to do that, depending on the unique personalities of our kids.
My children, I have four girls. They range from 38 to 13. And I realize I'm probably a better parent now than I was 30 years ago.
I would imagine.
It's an interesting challenge. I also suppose I'll never have an empty nest unless I live to be Noah's age or something. But, you know, the title of your book here, and that's connecting. In some way, that means communicating too, right?
Absolutely. And I think that that's a real challenge for many of us. We think that, you know, we work really hard to try to communicate with our kids. And it's not so much the technology difference or the way we communicate, but it's the style of communication with each individual child. In our book and also on my website, we have a personality test that you can take for your child, and you can find out what their unique personality is. And so I've really learned with my driver daughter, you know, the one who wants to get things done, that she wants conversations to be short and to the point, whereas my amiable stepson, he just wants to hang out.
Yeah.
And even if we don't talk to him, that's a good day. And so really understanding those communication styles and saying, how can I meet my child where they're at? How can I connect with them in a way that's going to be comfortable for them and also build on our relationship?
And discipline styles are different for different children.
Absolutely. You know, I remember I have had a fight with my son since the day he was born about cleaning his room.
Yeah.
And I would get so frustrated and we would do timeouts, and we would do every kind of grace-based parenting or authority. When I finally discovered what he was, he wasn't objecting to cleaning his room. Mm-hmm. He was objecting to being sent off by himself. And so when I said, okay, well, let's clean the upstairs together and then we'll clean the downstairs, it was a totally different experience. And not only it was the discipline change, it eliminated the need for correction because he now felt like, okay, I'm not being sent off to social Siberia. I can actually do something I enjoy, which is connecting with other people while I'm doing something I don't enjoy.
A lot of parenting books talk about communicating and knowing what's going on in your child's life. And yet often we get this kind of wall of silence. My daughter comes from school or she comes from gymnastics or something like that. Well, how did it go? You know, did you learn anything? And it's sometimes not very helpful.
It's so true. And I think that each kid is going to go through their own phase like that. And mm-hmm. some of it, you know, we need to pull back a little bit as parents, especially if you're one of those parents who needs to know every single detail of your child's day. Some kids just aren't wired that way. Mm-hmm. But I also know this, that sometimes there's communication going on even when we don't realize it. When we're in the van, you know, sometimes turning off that radio and just listening. Yeah. Sometimes there's a different just vulnerability when you're not sitting face-to-face. But I think it also is important to have those face-to-face times. And so that's why I really believe that the family dinner table is so, so important, because there's an opportunity not to be quizzing our kids. As parents, we need to be careful of that, because if we came to the dinner table each night and our husband said, well, did you do the dishes? Did you? Yeah, we would not appreciate that. And so sitting down and not asking about the homework, but just saying, you know, let's talk about something that you're interested in. Let's talk about photography or marching band or something that is not an opportunity to judge our kids.
And some of our children tend to look upon these questions as interrogations.
Right. And instead of saying, let's come alongside them and say, how can we partner with you in this part of your life that you really care about, what we're coming to the dinner table and saying is, have you lived up to our standards? You need to have those conversations, obviously, but I think the dinner table should be a safe place for love and encouragement. And, you know, the only correction there should be, you know, let's not have elbows on the table. The rest of it, we can let go.
These teachable moments we talk about, they sometimes come unexpectedly in the oddest places and times.
Yeah, I think the car is a really interesting place to have those kind of open discussions. I think that, you know, just making sure that you create opportunities for kids to be alongside. If you have an amiable child, somebody who just likes to hang out and go along with things, then making sure that that child comes to the store with you, or you have opportunities to sit in the living room. If you have an expressive child, which is somebody with a really outgoing personality and really bright and bubbly, you know, giving them an opportunity to maybe be in charge of the family entertainment and just connecting in that way. If you have a very analytical child, maybe doing something like when you guys are planning your family vacation, they're in charge of the packing list. They'll love having that responsibility. Mm-hmm. So it's really taking these opportunities, like you said, those teachable moments, and really giving your child an opportunity not only to learn to lead in their unique way, but also it gives you an opportunity to really affirm them in a way that would be really helpful to them.
All right. I love talking to authors like you, because it just has all the answers for all my problems. Look, here is...
So glad I could help.
I tend to be the one in the car bringing the children from wherever they are. And you're right. Those are the times in which they will unload with things that are concerning them or that they're enjoying or whatever. By the time we get home, if mom wants to know the same things, they're tired of that. They don't want to talk about it.
Right.
I got to help mom.
Yeah, and so I do think that, you know, especially if you have a long drive, you know, I think there's a way to encourage your child. It's like, oh, that's a great story. Let's make sure we save it for mom at dinner tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a way to really affirm and confirm, or maybe leaving a couple of questions in reserve so that when you do get to the dinner table, you have something to discuss. But I understand, and you know, none of us would want to repeat our day every single day to several people, but maybe talking about something that interests you and your child on that drive home, and then leaving the more general topics for the dinner table.
In this particular book, which again you call 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids, is this written for adolescents or teens or what?
When I was writing it, I was thinking specifically more about those elementary to junior high years. But I do have a section in each chapter when I suggest how to connect with your child, how to connect specifically with teens, because that is a special challenge for most of us. And so I've given the reader different ideas that they can try. They're maybe a little bit less prescriptive and a little bit more tailored to your child's personality. Mm-hmm. So that no matter what age your children are, there's going to be something for you in this book.
I've also discovered that no matter how old they are, I have a 36-year-old and a 38-year-old, I still get the phone calls clear across the country of a lot of things, including why is this red light flashing on my dashboard in Santa Ana, California? But at the same time, other things which have to do with their families or their children or spouses. I guess a parent is many times always a parent.
Yeah, the job is never done. I kept on thinking, wow, we're going to have all this extra time when our kids are in college. And, you know, it is true, the day-to-dayness of parenting does lessen by quite a bit, but their need for you, their need for your love and approval, you know, it warmed my heart last night when my daughter did a craft project, and she lives on the other side of town, but she still texted me the pictures because she wanted to have my approval on it. And, that just warms my heart because there will always be a place for me to be her mom. Our relationship has changed, but, I love how it's changed because in high school, you know, my daughter was saying things like, do we have to eat at home? I'm so tired of eating at home. And now she'll say things like, Mom, you wouldn't believe how expensive food is. I'm like, Kim, you know, as the mom of four teenagers, I had an inkling of how expensive it was. But now I'm teaching her to cook in a way that she wasn't really interested in when she was living at home. But now she's got those skills because who she is changing. But the fact that I'm her mom and I can speak truth into her life hasn't changed.
There, for a variety of reasons, are most likely a number of our listeners today who are single parents. Is this book going to be helpful to them? And what about their special situation?
Yep, I've been there, lived through that. Mm-hmm. And so I absolutely get where single parents are coming from. And we have in each of the chapters a special section for single parents and how to really tailor this to them. I think the best thing that I did as a single parent was to find another single parent to be a partner with. Because, you know, this whole single parenting thing is exhausting. And so if we can partner with somebody else so it's not always up to us to make all the plans or have somebody that you can bounce ideas off of about discipline or just character building and hold each other accountable, it's one of the greatest gifts a single parent can give themselves.
Is prayer a part of parenting?
I think it's absolutely essential because what we're training our children to do is to go be walking out in the world. And we can't be with them at all points, but fortunately we have God who can be with them at all times. And so I pray for my kids on a daily basis. I have a list of prayer requests for each of my kids that I go through every single day. And prayer is effective. I've seen amazing changes in my kids' lives and my own life as a mother. And I believe that a great deal of that is prayer. So I pick a verse for each of my kids each year to be praying for them about.
That's a good idea.
Then I also, you know, ask other people to pray for my kids. And my husband and I pray for them. And it's amazing to, you know, when my kids have a situation going on in their lives, they know that they can come to me and they know that I'll be praying for them. And that is, it's such a sweet privilege.
In so many ways, your book is a how-to book, and there's some very specific things and things to try. And as you mentioned, there was a personality guideline. So someone finishes reading your book and they start implementing some of these things, and they're really putting forth a complete effort, but it doesn't always seem as if they're seeing results straight away. What do you say to them?
I have been there, and I have that T-shirt. What I would love for parents to know in the deepest recesses of their heart is that God doesn't waste one of those actions.
Mm-hmm.
You may not see, especially I would say if you have teenagers,
okay. You
may not feel like you're seeing any results. But I have to say, it's kind of like a bank that you're depositing money into, but you never see that actual bank balance. I feel like this is the same thing. The payoff is going to come later. It's not always evident right away, but when I was struggling with my son, I kept doing the things that I knew I needed to do, even though I felt like I was getting a brick wall. I was getting anger and resentment. But, you know, from loving him when he was very unlovable, he grew to trust me even more. And, you know, God, I won't say it was easy. There were times when I was very upset with him. I was angry with God sometimes. But
right. Fortunately,
our God is a big God, and he can take it. And so I had friends holding me accountable. I had friends praying for me that I would be the kind of mom that Justin needed to be. And I've seen the results. It took, I would say, a good solid 2 years. But I have seen the results, and it's paid off. He trusts me in a way that, you know, I don't think he would have had I not invested in this way.
I have discovered that some of the things that I thought were either so wise and important or so unwise, and so I need to apologize. With my older children, I found out I was a bad judge sometimes. And I will talk to them, you know, I'm sorry under this situation and that. And nearly every time they say, we have no idea what you're talking about, Dad. And,
yeah, exactly. I think that it's so true, though, isn't it? Because I think that oftentimes we're a better parent than we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're not doing the 101 things to be a great parent, we feel like, oh, we must have failed them this way.
Right.
You know, I feel guilty even talking about scrapbooks because
yeah.
you're right. The first one is thick as thieves, and, you know, it's thick as a phone book. And for my daughter, you know, it's like, well, didn't we go to an online book?
Sure.
Well, no, it just means I haven't done anything with the pictures yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were so many things that I can now say in retrospect, even though I didn't do all the programs, I didn't do all the systems, I was there for my kids.
Yes.
And they know that, and that has built into our relationship.
And it's exactly the response that I've gotten, especially with my oldest, who's, you know, when she was 15, she was driving me crazy, and I couldn't get her to talk. And sometimes we just get in the car and drive, sometimes nowhere, and sometimes 800 miles from Oregon to Southern California,
right.
you know, to see Grandma, because I thought, well, maybe Grandma can do something. And yet that's what she remembers, those kind of, you know, where we didn't speak other than, do you have to go to the bathroom? And yet that connection of taking the time seemed to have been significant.
Sometimes it's just the time, exactly. And sometimes the best thing we can do for our kids is to not say anything at all. Just be okay that sitting in that silence is, you know, we know the difference between a comfortable silence and a grudging silence.
Right.
And sometimes silence speaks a lot.
How do you want your readers who are going to buy this book to use it?
Well, I think the first thing is I would love for them to take the personality test for their kids. And
all
if
right.
they want to go to kathilipp.com, that's kathilipp.com, there's a free test there that you can answer the questions for your kids. Your kids probably need to be about 4 or 5 for it to really be effective, but you can go through and answer those questions and then really find out what your child's personality type is. And then if you start to explore and look at some of the ways to connect, you can plug in your child's personality to that connection and really get the most out of it with not having to invest more. Because so many times we're doing things for our kids that, like you said, we're not, you know, either we think that we're doing a poor job or we're doing things that we think should be super impactful in their lives. And they're like, yeah, that's not really my thing. It may be my
right.
sister's thing. It's not my thing. So figure out what your kid's thing is and then do that. And then I think that also be gentle with yourself. If there's one that's not going to work for you, that's fine. Skip to the next one. But it's just a conscious reminder that I'm going to do something every day to build into my child's life and build into our relationship.
Again, the book is 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids by Kathy Lipp. It's a Harvest House publication. Kathy, where can people get your book? And please repeat your website.
Yeah, you can get it any place that retailers are, you know, CBD.com, any of those Christian bookstores, or you can connect with me at my website, which is kathylipp.com, K-A-T-H-I-L-I-P-P.com, and there's a ton of fun and free resources to help you connect with your kids.
Kathy, I appreciate you being on Life Quest today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dwight. This is a great chat.
Thanks for listening to Life Quest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930. I'm Dwight Lainhoff.